Music, El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we welcome you to our program. And if you are watching Phil TV in HD, you have a backstage pass. Congratulations. Thank you very much. If you are not watching Phil TV in HD, then you do not have a backstage pass, or perhaps you have a backstage pass, but you haven't figured out how to use it. Or maybe you just aren't home yet. Of course, if you're not home yet, you can always watch us on your mobile. You can always watch us on your iPad. You can always watch us on your tablet. I've got a lot of people that are checking in with me and saying, hey, Phil, I saw you on my tablet. I saw you on my iPad. I saw you in my dreams. I saw you in a crust of bread. I saw you in the face of a child. And I say to them, that's great. You know, what am I doing in radio? Y'all could be worshiping my ass as a god. All right.
Let's not go down that road.
Just kidding around here, Margaret.
Yeah, just kidding around.
Let's not go down the blasphemy road. That's all I'm asking.
By the way, can I ask you a favor?
Yes.
Can you work your microphone a little bit differently, Margaret? And the only reason I'm saying, I was listening to the air check from Friday's show, which I enjoyed thoroughly, but you're popping your peas.
What is popping my peas?
Wouldn't you like to know? I'm sorry.
Don't start. Popping your peas, it's a plosive. And I'm not making a joke here, bud, so stop. When you pop your peas, you're hitting the windscreen on the mic and it's going boom, boom. You ever heard that?
Have I ever heard? What is he talking about?
Talking about popping your peas. If you look at it like this.
Hi, my name is Robert Leonard. Back off of it, Robert.
Sorry. My name is Robert Leonard, and I like popcorn. And I like popcorn. I like, what starts with P?
Philadelphia.
Yeah, I like Philadelphia.
It don't work with Philadelphia, man. It's got to be P, okay?
Yeah, but it starts with a P.
I don't care.
You're right, man. It doesn't work. Why does it start with a P, then?
Because it starts with a P. It's P-A. In any event, please be careful with that, Margaret. Welcome to our program. The Oscars were last night. I don't know whether you watched those things or not. They seem to be a touchstone for a great many of us to enjoy. Seth MacFarlane was the conversation this morning, as I'm sure he was last evening. I want to give my take on this before I know Margaret Gray is going to join us here, well, along with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. He's going to be here as well. I thought, and I remember that I read this morning. I said, well, somebody else noticed what it was that I was talking about. I thought that opening segment with William Shatner, it could have worked had it not gone so long.
Well, Phil, you're saying that's what you thought at the time.
Yes, that's what I thought at the time.
Yeah, how do you know when you read that and you're all, yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah, a lot of people do that, Mr. Henry.
Well, guess what? I'm telling you that's what I thought at the time. Okay?
Well, I'm not expecting you to admit the fact, I read someone say that it was too long. Gee, that sounds like a good opinion. I think I'll articulate that on the show tonight and make myself look like I'm all neat and everything.
What?
You heard me.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did, Margaret. I thought I'd come in tonight and go, well, I'll make myself look all neat, and I'll say, gee, it was really long, even though I heard somebody. Come on, will you give me a little bit of credit, okay? I thought when I was watching that, it was a funny segment. It could have been a funny segment, a funny way of MacFarlane sort of preempting the critics, which is what I think he was trying to do. You know, you're in, out, boom, boom, do the thing, bing, bang, there you go. Go to the gay chorus or whatever the hell the song and dance was, bang, you're out of it, on to the show. But I thought that was long. And then the other thing that I think is important.
But excuse me, Doug Danger and I are going to be reviewing. Are you going to do this or do you want us? If you're going to do it, then I'll just go ahead and take these notes and do with them what I... The only thing that's left to me to do with them, and that's to...
Wipe with them.
Yes, to wipe with them. And I'm sorry to put it that way.
So in other words, if I give my opinion, you might as well take your notes.
Yes, I might as well take the notes that I have very carefully prepared and wipe back to front.
Oh, my God.
Just so you know.
Back to front.
Is that bad?
Poor lady, it is, yeah.
Margaret, you know...
Phil, don't Margaret me. You knew that I was coming on this show tonight to review the
to...
Oh, excuse me, I'll finish. To review the Oscar Awards. Oscar?
Yes, the Academy Awards.
All right, excuse me. Knowing that I'd be on along with Doug Danger, you decided that you'd start in by giving your review. Now, I am saying it again, and I'll say it forevermore, I might as well take my notes and wipe back to front. Well, don't, Phil, quit giving us the histrionics, you know.
Well, you know what, don't tell me what to do. That's the crudest, most crass, most unnecessary thing I've ever heard.
What is?
Who's asking you, butt out?
All right, I'll ask the question, what is?
I might as well wipe with my notes back to front. You know.
I don't understand what that means.
You don't understand what back to front means? See, it's when a lady...
Will you shut... Both of you guys just shut up. I'm just going to tell you this. I have an opinion. I'm going to give my opinion. When Doug comes on, you guys can give your opinion. I'm the host of the show.
I'm the host of the show.
Is that what you're going to do? You're going to pull that note? You're going to pull that little note out of your piccolo? Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to keep tweeting that note on your little... bugle there? Just, I'm the host of the show. Just like a little Mozart bumblebee trumpet. Is that what you're doing, Phil? Answer me, Phil. Is that what you're...
Margaret, don't talk to me like that.
My God, I do believe you'd actually strike a woman, wouldn't you?
No, I would not. No, I would not. And just don't talk to me about what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do, then you're going to do it. You and Doug, you can do it.
No, Doug and I are not going to do it. We're giving a review. Good God.
You're giving a review
of the Oscar Academy, of the Academy of Oscars, of the Academy Awards.
Yeah, what's the Academy of Oscars?
That's what it's called. It's not called that, but I'm very tired, Phil.
Nobody in this room is more tired than me. I've been suffering from insomnia now since Thursday night, so don't give me this you're tired thing. I'm almost hallucinating. I'm so tired that I will never again have to even consider, if I ever wanted to take hallucinogenics, I would simply say, I'm living in a world of hallucination. I'm fine. I don't have to, okay? Party. So anyway, Doug Danger...
Whatever that meant.
Don't worry about it. So Doug Danger and Margaret Gray will be with us. As I was saying, so the Academy Awards... The other thing that I wanted to mention, if you don't mind... A lot of you guys that are critics, and I don't know whether there's critics, listen, I don't know what your story is. If you listen, if you're not, if you do, you don't. It's okay, but you guys blow it all the time when you do this. This is where you blow it. This is where you miss the bus. You miss the boat on Ricky Gervais, because here's where you guys screw up. You always start in with the bad taste thing. You never ever go to, was it funny? You always start in with this bad taste. So, I'll give an example. When Ricky Gervais was the host of the Golden Globes, you guys carved it up one side and down the next. Just about every critic I read ripped Gervais a new ass. Guess what? The audience loved him. Everybody thought he was funnier than hell. The only guys that didn't think he was funny were you jackballs and a smattering of Hollywood people that didn't, you know, that were the object of his criticism. But the bottom line is the guy was funny. So when you guys started in on him about his taste or his lack thereof, you completely missed why he was successful. And he was successful. He was successful with the people he was supposed to be successful with, the people that were watching the bloody thing at home. The overwhelming majority of people watching it, the millions and millions of people watching it. But you guys with the taste thing, you blew it. Now you let's go to Seth MacFarlane last night. You're making the same mistake again that you always make. I don't know why you keep on making it. It was bad taste. And Seth MacFarlane last night did, if he failed at all, he didn't fail because of taste. I can't, except for the Lincoln joke.
What Lincoln joke?
When he said that John Wilkes Booth got into the head of Lincoln?
Yes. When John Wilkes Booth, he said it's been 150 years. MacFarlane, you got to understand something, Seth. It ain't been 150 years. The movie is out. And so everybody sort of was thinking about Lincoln, and there was Daniel Day-Lewis, who's going to get the Academy Award, and, you know, the life of this man was very, you know, present in the minds of people. It's not the best choice to make. But beyond that, I'm not going to judge you on that. I'm going to ask myself, you know, I'm going to say, well, did I laugh? And I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh because I didn't think it was funny, and the reason why I didn't think it was funny is because of the whole Lincoln movie thing. But that doesn't necessarily mean a lot of other people... I didn't laugh at it. If they did, then you could say, hey, he hit it with that joke. But he didn't. He stiffed. It was not funny. It wasn't funny.
Well, when are you going to... In other words, what you're saying is it could be tasteless, it could be the most obscene, vile, and foul thing that any MC has ever said, but it could be funny.
Yes, yeah, it could be funny. Yeah, because at that point, I mean, if it's the most obscene, vile, and foul thing, and it's also funny, then I question whether it's really obscene, vile, and foul.
What if a man got up and started telling Jewish jokes? What if a Nazi started telling Jewish jokes to a Jewish group of people?
And is it funny?
Well, what do you think, Phil?
No. You can't do that. Is it funny? I mean, I'm going to have to conclude, no, it isn't.
Exactly. So why would you ask such a stupid question?
Because if a guy got up and told a bunch of jokes to some Jewish folks and he was a Nazi and they laughed, they found it funny, then you have to say that the guy was funny. Whether it was tasteless, whether it was tasteful, whether it was this, that, it was funny.
When is an... Oh, my God. I hate it when you...
What do you talk about a Nazi? You say that Hitler make a Jewish guy laugh?
No, I... Well, maybe now. You know, Lenny Bruce is one of the greatest comics that ever lived. He was Jewish, and he got mileage out of Adolf Hitler and jokes about Adolf Hitler like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he did the whole routine on how Hitler was discovered.
Who does?
Lenny Bruce did an entire bit on... And Lenny Bruce was Jewish. So, you know, again... Was it funny? Not was it tasteless or was it tasteful or did it do this or did it do that or, oh my goodness gracious. And these jackasses, I'm telling you.
Jackasses like Doug Danger, the critic.
I don't think Doug's a jackass at all. We'll have to see what he says. We'll be back with Doug Danger and Margaret Gray as they talk a little bit more about the, I was going to say the Olympics, the Academy Awards. 877-876-PHIL.
Listen, Phil, it's Doug Danger. Can I just...
Well, we're going into the break.
Well, I heard what you said about, let's hear what a critic has to say, Doug Danger. So you've already shoved my face into a pile that's still warm, and I hope...
Well, hold on, will you, Doug?
All right, I didn't know we were on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air. Shoved his face into a pile that's still warm.
Yeah, well, kind of did.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth God. Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I'm saying that because I don't remember what the numbers are.
What the numbers of the what? Phil?
Yeah, I don't.
877-876-7445.
Thank you, bud.
Is that the lack of sleep that's doing that to you?
Probably. See, Doug Danger is on the line. Doug, we're going to get to you in a second. Margaret is going to do,
Doug, I hope you don't mind. I want to do Goldfinger. I've got to do Goldfinger.
I mean, all right. Am I on?
Yeah, Doug.
Well, that's fine, Margaret. I mean, you go right ahead and do Goldfinger.
Well, I thought that perhaps you'd respond in a favorable way, like you want to hear it.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Boy, what a...
What a what?
Hold on.
No, Phil, I heard her say what a what. She said something, what a...
Well, can't you be a little gracious? Oh, yes, Margaret, we'd love...
Margaret, you didn't even have to involve Doug, okay?
I'm getting out of my car. I'm walking to my office right now. I expected to be on the air with Phil talking about the Olympic... not the Olympics, but the Highland... Not the Highland Games, the Golden Globe, not the Golden Globes, the...
Academy Awards.
Hold on, I'll do it, Phil. As Margaret would say, I'll do it.
We're moving along. The Academy Awards.
I know it's the Academy Awards. Do you mind if I come to that realization myself?
Yes, I do, because it's taking time. Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry I have to pull rank here, you guys, but let's just, if we can, give Doug a break and put him on hold. And here is Margaret with Goldfinger.
One of the all-time classics, ladies and gentlemen, Shirley Bassey, Dame Shirley Bassey, sang it last night. I hope I do it justice. Of course, I know that I will. I've got a completely different way of doing it from Dame Shirley Bassey, and it goes something like this. Goldfinger, do-do-do-do-do, he's the man with the Midas touch, a Midas touch, do-do-do. See what I did there? Phil, where did Phil go?
You take probably squeezing one out.
No, I'm not. I went over to get a Red Bull.
You went over to do what?
Where's the singing?
I wanted to ask you, did you note? Start it again, bud.
Margaret, don't wait for me to do this, that, or something else. Just do it, would you please?
While you do what, go over and urinate against the wall of a gas station? Why don't you pay attention?
Do what?
Bud, just roll it, will you? Bud Dickman is my engineer. Thank you, Bud.
Good, Ms. Gray.
Dame Shirley Bassey did this last night. For those of you who are too young to remember Dame Shirley Bassey, her name was once Shirley Bassey. It's now Dame Shirley Bassey. She did this song. She did really well. I'm going to do it right now, and I think I'll do it better. Goldfinger. He's the man with the Midas touch. Woo! Lyrics to this, please. Someone get me the lyrics. Such a cold finger. You ladies know how that is, don't you?
All right, turn it off.
I'm sorry. I had to get that in. In much the same way that he had to get the cold finger in.
Okay. You're the one that's always complaining about taste and bad taste.
Yes, Porky. Go ahead. Would you please start it again, Bud Dickman?
Hold on for a minute. I'm the host of the show.
Please start it again, Bud Dickman. I'm going to finish this song, Phil.
Then finish the song without all of the side comments about how he got the cold finger in.
Well, he did. Dr. Paris, he's a great, great... he's a great gynecologist. I don't think I'm talking out of school, Phil. One of the things that we did want to do with this is turn this into an ad for Dr. Paris, who's my gynecologist. And I think there's a lot of women out there that appreciate what I'm saying, even though you men are turning it into a sewer of laughter. Goldfinger. He's the doctor with the golden stirrups.
Will you turn that? Get out of here with that, okay?
What did you...
I'm not going to listen to that. Now, do the song the way it's supposed to be done, or we'll get Doug on here, and we'll just do the do and the funky chicken, too.
What are you, a member of Checkmates Limited?
Doug Dangers. Turn, bud.
Sorry.
Where's Doug Danger?
He's right here.
Get the dead ain't him.
Right here, Phil. Hello, Doug Danger here.
Yeah, Doug, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. I think that what Margaret attempted to do there was some sort of a satirical or humorous take on Goldfinger, and I think what we got instead was a bit of... I think it was feminist humor, Margaret, to be kind, but I think it was feminist humor that was taken too far afield, and it became a little bit of... I suppose it became I hate to put it this way, but almost like a dirty tampon.
And what did you say,
Doug? I mean, you know...
Well, no, I mean, if she's the one that... Hold on, don't start jumping on me.
What did you say? What was that I just heard you say?
You were trying to do some feminist humor, and it backfired on you. So all you did was pull a dirty tampon out of a waste paper basket. I think I have a right to say that. I'm a gay man, gay journalist, okay?
Doug, it is a very, very... It's just a sick and disgusting image, okay? Why go there when there's so many other places to go?
Why go where?
Why go to the waste paper basket with the... You know what you said.
I'll say it because I speak on behalf of a lot of women. I don't get my jokes out of a waste paper basket holding up a dirty tampon or whatever it was that you said. Excuse me, but I am sick to my stomach. That was sickness. That was nausea that you just heard.
That belch.
Yes, that was nausea. I am nauseated at the thought of you. I am nauseated at the thought of a gay man and a gay journalist who decides to get his cookies laughing at the likes of a woman. Aren't you going to stop me?
Yeah, would you just... We're going to take a break. Doug, hang on, okay?
Yeah, sure, I'll hang on.
Am I going to be allowed to finish Goldfinger?
Are you going to be allowed to finish Goldfinger? You know...
Get Mr. Hall on the line, please.
We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, that's right. You're not going to jump in the middle of that, are you?
If you let her sing Goldfinger, if you let her make that into a commercial for a gynecologist, Henry, you will never have it. You'll never sleep another night again.
Famous Phil Henry Show, and I recognize that we do have an issue tonight with our video cast. We are having a technical problem, and upon reaching our next break, we will attempt to fix that, and we do have our technical guys working on it. We have an interruption in our video stream tonight. That's the first interruption we've had in the video stream in a long time. So while our partners at Bright Cove have been on it, you need to get on it even better, boys, okay? Our number, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with us is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. We're going to talk here about the Academy Awards last night. There was a great deal of criticism, Doug, as you know. Okay, do we have to do this?
Yes. Is David Hall on the line? Just stop the music for a moment, bud. David G. Hall, I think, was on the line and was going to sign off on this, Phil. Is David Hall there, please?
David, are you there?
This is David. I don't know if I'm interrupting Doug Danger. Doug, are you there? Yeah, I'm right here. I just got the call from Margaret. She asked that I intercede. She wants to sing this Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Yes, but she has a account executive that she's working with. For this doctor of hers, right?
I didn't know any of this at all.
Yes, you did, Phil. I told you.
Then why didn't you say something on the air?
Because I was going to embed the announcement. Oh, my God. Would you explain life to him, David?
Well, what we try to do with a lot of commercials is embed them. And we were going to embed this commercial for Dr. What's his name, Margaret?
Dr. Paris. I gave you all the information.
All right, Dr. Paris.
Embed the... So, in other words, she's going to sing this song as if it's a part of the show, but it's actually a commercial.
Yeah, Paul Harvey did it all the time, and nobody complained about it to him. Or complained about him, I should say.
Doug, are you there?
You know, if I get asked one more time if I'm here or not, I think I'm going to come right out of my skin. Yes, I'm right here. Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist. All right, let me ask something, Doug. This is David Hall. What do you think about her singing this song, Goldfinger, as a way of a commercial for this guy, Dr. Paris, who I understand is very good? What do you think? He's a gynecologist?
Well, you know what? He's an OBGYN. Do you have to say gynecologist? There's something very invasive and clinical about that.
All right. He's an OBGYN.
OBGYN.
OB what? OBGYN, I think is what you said.
OBGYN.
All right, and so that's what the commercial's going to be, and I just think that we owe it to her. Here we go.
Yeah, everyone just shut up while I try to get this done. Goldfinger, he's the man with the Medicare plan. You know, I haven't figured it out yet, David. Would you get all of that static out of my ear, please?
Well, let the static happen.
Okay, good. Now, David, are you there?
No, because we just put him on hold.
Why?
Because that was the static.
David G. Hall, I want to talk to David. David G. Hall, are you there?
Yes, Margaret, I'm right here.
Well, what is that static?
That's David G. Hall.
Get it out of my ear, please. How many times do I have to ask?
Well, Margaret, look,
What happened to David?
He's on the line where there's the static.
Don't yell at me. Now, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Oh, here we go. Knows when he kissed her. She sent him home with a case of venereal disease. I can't do this. This is just... just not the environment for me.
No, I don't think it is. Thank you very much. Kill the music, will you?
Well, what happened, everyone?
You kept telling me to turn them down. All right, Doug Danger. David, thank you very much, but we don't need you anymore. Doug Danger on the line with us from the Orange County Courier as we talk about the Academy Awards. Doug, go ahead. What did you find special? What did you find not so special?
First of all, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I have to say that last segment of radio, last two segments of radio that I heard on your program, Phil, and you know that I respect you. I don't think it could have been more gory. I don't think it could have been more bloody.
You know, I know what he's going to do. You're going to start commenting on me.
Excuse me. It's my time. My time. This is my time in life. Okay.
Well, all right, Ruby D.
Ruby D. Boy, what a racist.
That is not a racist comment, and besides, you're gay. It would be gayest, or it would be...
Never mind. Whatever the hell it was I was trying to say. What was this? What are we talking about?
The Academy Awards.
Yeah, the Academy Awards with that Seth MacFarlane. I hope he gets his testicles ripped off for what he did to gay people last night. And
good God, what a thing to say.
Well, I don't really want him to. I don't think it'll really happen to him. But I don't think he did anything all that bad. But I am expected to weigh in against Seth MacFarlane for the horrible things that he said, and I can't even remember what they were.
Then why are you even on the program?
Because I want to review the damn Academy Awards. Look, Seth MacFarlane was the least of the problems last night. Excuse me. Seth MacFarlane was the least of the problems last...
What are you, lisping?
Yeah. This always happens to me, too. Seth MacFarlane was the least of... In any event, Seth MacFarlane was the least of the problems in hell last night. And...
What is wrong with you? What's wrong with you, Doug?
I don't know. Something with my bridge. The upper bridge work that I had started to slip. It's the worst possible thing that happened to me because I'm a gay man, gay journalist. People are going to say, oh, there goes the lisping. He's a lisping gay. But what I'm trying to say is that Seth MacFarlane was not the worst thing that happened at the Academy or the Oscars last night. There were a lot of things. How about that Jennifer Lawrence when she slipped? I mean, that was the biggest cluster you know what I've ever seen in my life. And I'm a gay man, gay journalist. How about when Paul Rudd, Paul Rudd's a good guy, and I know you know who Paul Rudd is, Phil. He's a good man. How about when he come out and he bumped his head on the microphone? How about when, there's all kinds of moments there. How about that laugh? How about Chicago trying to bring back that dog? How about that? And yet they're all jumping all over Seth MacFarlane. Seth MacFarlane was the least of the problems.
What is going on with your mouth, man?
It's very distracting, Doug.
I'm a gay man, a gay journalist. You guys, I just whipped off one of the best reviews that I've ever done.
Doug, you know, there's something wrong with your teeth, man. You're lisping.
I know that. I'm a lisping gay. You like that, don't you? That's what you've been praying for all these years. You've been hoping at least this Doug Danger will come on and start to lisp it up. And that way, no one's going to have to take him serious no more. And I'll just be a cartoon. I'll just be a caricature. I'll just be a stereotype. Well, no, not me. Not Doug Danger. No stereotypes here. No furry. You know?
The least you could do is avoid words that start with S.
No, I don't think I'm going to do that. Okay, I think I'm going to do a report on the Son of Sam. I think I'm going to do things about Cicely Tyson and Sissy Spacek and Son of Sam. And I'm going to do stuff about the United States of America and Uncle Sam. I'm going to just dub it. Oh, God. I hate it so much.
Well, Doug.
No, I hope both of you die with blood in your mouth.
Oh!
Did he say what I thought I heard him say?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Die with blood in your mouth. Doug Danger's finally gone around a bend.
I think he has, man.
What was up with him? And why does his teeth... What's with the teeth?
I think, by my understanding, he took a bat to the face in baseball.
When he was a kid.
When he was a kid, huh?
Yeah, I got hit in the face with a baseball bat.
In baseball?
Yeah.
Wow. What position... Well, don't tell me, you know.
He was playing catcher. Ow!
I told you not to make that laugh.
Well, you gotta, Phil, I mean, that was begging for it, don't you think?
No, I don't. No, I don't. I was asking about how the guy, why is it that Doug Danger wears a bridge, in an upper bridge, and he took a baseball bat to the face, and that can't possibly have been a pleasant memory for him. And I was asking what position he played, because where do you get a baseball bat to the face?
Well, I mean, where do you get balls and chin?
What?
Where do you usually get balls to the chin?
As a batter. Where, you're not going to get a bat. Who's going to hit you in the face with a bat if you're in the batting box?
You mean in a baseball game?
No, in a football game, man. When you're in the batter's box, well, who's going to hit you in the face in a football game?
Yeah, in a football game, genius.
I know, I couldn't hear him, man. I know you're talking about a baseball game. I just couldn't hear him.
Okay, a baseball game.
Nobody.
Nobody is right. So if you're in the batter's box, nobody's going to hit you in the face with a baseball bat. There's only one position that I know of in baseball where you possibly could get hit in the face with a baseball bat by accident, unless it was on purpose. Was it on purpose?
No, he said he was just it was in a game.
In a game?
Yes.
All right, well, then they must have been playing catcher. And so I say catcher, and because Doug's a gay man and a gay journalist, this one here starts making jokes, and you encourage it.
I did not. I encouraged it after the joke had left his mouth, and there was no retrieving it. Then I said, well, okay, let's laugh at it.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, Phil. It makes sense, Phil. And I'm not being racist, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm trying to give Phil a sense. Well, I better not say it.
What are you going to say?
Robert, you know that I respect you. You know that I believe in equal rights. You know that I'm a liberal, and I have voted liberal my entire life. You know that.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm asking Phil to think like a white man. Now, what do I mean by that?
Good God.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Don't go off hat. Wait a minute.
Miss Gray, you said you weren't going to be racist.
Think like a white man, huh?
Don't go off half-cocked. I want to explain myself.
No,
there's no explaining that.
No explaining that, Ms. Gray. You are way over the line. And you butchered it, you know?
Did I really butcher it? Do you want to see something really get butchered?
Margaret, you lost the moral high ground with that one, you know?
Weren't you trying to say something about tastelessness, if it was funny or making the point?
That was not making any point, okay? When you say think like a white man, what does that mean?
Maybe I meant to say think stupid.
Well, okay, I'll accept that.
You'll accept that. So in other words, yeah, I don't even want to talk about it.
What I'm trying to say, and Robert, you know I'm not a racist. What I'm trying to say, Phil, you know, act like a white man, will you?
Robert, where are you going?
I got to cool off, okay? Oh, I'm going to be really pissed. I got to cool off.
Hey, let me go with you.
You come with me, man. I might swing on you.
No, I...
You just... So one of my employees, my African-American employees, just gotten up and walked out rather than react to what you just said.
Phil, this is a common statement made that has nothing to do with race. It is a colloquial phrase.
No, hold on. Don't bullcrap a bullcrapper, as the old saying goes, okay?
Well, that's not how the old saying goes.
Well, that's how it's going to go on this show. Don't start giving me a whole song and a dance. Think like a white man. That is to say, think using your natural superiority.
No, it is not. It was simply think like a dumbass.
And how is that going to help me understand what you're saying?
It won't. But at least you'll know your place.
Huh?
Phil, don't give me the huh. You know, I'm drifting out here in a sea of question marks. People are now looking at me as, you know what, I'm going to the toilet.
Good fallback. Go to the toilet, yeah.
Remember what I said to you.
Yeah, you hope I die with blood in my mouth.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I also apologize this video feed. We've got to get this thing corrected. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Phil Hendry Show. And again, our apologies as we've had a problem on the internet side of things. Our video cast is down. We're working to get it restored, hopefully by the top of the hour. It's just, as I say, some kind of a blip. It might have to do with network traffic going back to the East Coast. We'll find out. It also may have to do with something as simple as a code that was entered improperly. We'll find out. We're working on it, and I am sure at some point we'll have it back up tonight, probably sooner rather than later, probably by the beginning of the next hour. But my apologies. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are here at 877-876-PHIL. We are ordinarily online at philhenryshow.com. We certainly do, regardless of whether or not the live stream is working. We certainly do have our on-demand feature so that you can watch each and every video cast on demand at our website at philhenryshow.com on all devices. And you can also listen by way of a podcast if you're a subscriber to our show at philhenryshow.com. So there's a lot of different options there in terms of the current show. Our archives are always available to you there as well. 5,000 hours, over a decade's worth of full radio shows and other interesting tidbits like interviews, TV pilots, news conferences we've been involved in, different kinds of television appearances, all there at philhenryshow.com. Our news feed as well, webisodes as well, the Milwaukee Lion podcast and the Milwaukee Lion archive, which is about the weirdest bunch of football games you ever heard in your life. And I'll tell you something else, man. If sports radio is where it's at in the near future, this Milwaukee Lions, man.
Yeah, they ought to take advantage of that.
I think it might be a good idea. It's a fictitious team, though, right?
It's a fictitious team, but you got to listen to Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison as they call all the color and the pageantry and the play-by-play action of the Milwaukee Lions. Check it out at philhenryshow.com.
You sound like Snoop there.
I sounded like Snoop?
Yeah, you go, check it out. Sound just like Snoop.
Yeah, sound like Snoop.
Sound like Snoop.
Okay, take it easy. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much, Doug Danger and Margaret Gray.
Well, is that it? Is that what you're going to give to Doug?
That, you know, as a matter of fact, I ought to throw you out of here and let Doug do his... Doug, I apologize.
Why do I get thrown out?
I hope you both die with blood in your mouths.
You know, Phil, that's a very good point. I heard that, too, and I don't know why you've even got that woman in the studio. That was a vicious thing to say, Margaret.
Well, the two of you were being very, very vicious. You were not allowing me to finish. You were not allowing me to say it the way I wanted to say it so it would come out good. You were making me say it so it was coming out bad. All right?
We were making you say it.
So it was coming out bad?
Yeah, so it come out bad. What is that supposed to mean?
You know what I mean. I was saying it to make it come out good, and you confused me, and it came out sounding like I was the retard.
Margaret, you know, all I know is you were talking about me talking like a white man and all this good stuff. Completely offensive. Completely offensive.
No comment, Phil. You know something? I'm not going to apologize for a thing. People out there know what I meant.
Really? Do my black listeners know what you meant?
Yes, they do. What I meant was, when I told you to think like a white man, I was really saying think like a black man.
What are you talking about? I didn't hear you say that.
Robert, think about it. If you're listening with black ears, are you listening with black ears?
Well, let me look in the mirror and make sure they're black.
Yeah, I gotta make sure we painted them black. And ow!
Don't you ever laugh at me. You don't laugh at... Are you listening with your black earness? Not your black earness. Are you listening with the blackness of your ear?
With the blackness of his ear? Why don't you speak English, okay?
I am speaking English.
Margaret, I don't know what you mean, I listen to the blackness of my ear.
You tell him to listen to what? So he's hearing it as a black man? Is that it?
Yes. When I say to Phil, why don't you act like a white man, what are you hearing?
I'm hearing a racist woman.
You're all kinds of dumb.
I'm all kinds of dumb.
You're all kinds of insensitive. You're all kinds of racist. What do you think of that?
I am a voting Democrat. How dare you? I supported Barack Obama. I walked precincts for Barack.
Oh, here we go with the tears.
Yes, that's right.
877-876-PHIL. Doug, go ahead.
Anyway, Phil, I want to conclude this, and I want to forget that I was ever on your show tonight. I simply want to say this. I'm Doug Danger. I'm a gay man, gay journalist. I got my bridge work back in. Thank you very much to Joey Periwinkle. I couldn't have done it without you. I appreciate that. And Terry Harding, thank you, dear, for coming in and with the glue, with the epoxy. Ronnie Rutan, who put the bridge back together again. You know, you're my Humpty Dumpty. You're the Humpty Dumpty man, Ronnie. I appreciate that. I want to also just a shout out to the Anderson Glue Works. That's over near the racetrack.
Yeah.
What?
The Anderson Glue Works?
Well, how do you think he got the bridge back in his face?
How do you think I got the bridge back up in my kisser? Huh? Thank you very much, Anderson Glue Works. Yes.
Over by the racetrack.
Yeah, over by the racetrack. What, is that? Does that give you the creeps? Let me tell you what, their glue is the best in the business. And why do you think that is? Because they only have to take the horses across the street. So there's no long trailer ride of a dead horse where it loses its, you know, the glue ability. I don't know. I don't know how they do it, Phil. All I know is it's damn good glue.
Well, I think it might have something to do with the harness track across the street.
A harness track?
Yeah. Well, you don't think they're going to kill perfectly good thoroughbreds. They put down those harness horses. Man, they are good for... The only thing a harness horse is good for is after his racing career, you send him down to the Amish, and they do buggy... You know, the Amish do buggy races. Did you know that? Another thing...
Get out of here. We'll be right... The Amish do buggy races. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Very grateful to have you with us. We appreciate it, and we do have our stream back online. So Phil TV is back and in business, and quite frankly, it should have happened sooner had we just one more extra pair of hands here in the studio, but we didn't. So we had to wait for our top-of-the-hour newscast to get to clear the place out, to get the place fumigated, to get everybody out of here, and to just settle in and hunker down and test our theories. In other words, we just needed to have some time to restart the stream. So having said that, Bud, have you taken care of business?
Just got done. Flushed the toilet, and there's all kind of toilet paper there, too.
Good. And there's no paper towels.
No.
I, if you don't mind, Phil.
Go ahead. Why do you, Margaret, why do you go with the top, you know, right when we're starting a segment?
Because he was in there. Good Lord, do I got to spell it out?
Sorry. All right, the Trayvon Martin case, is that starting soon? Because there's a big headline here on five things to know in the Trayvon Martin case. Well, guess what? I don't want to know any of them, you know.
Why not, man? It's a big story.
That may be a big story for a lot of people. I'm not dealing with it. I ain't talking about it. I ain't going there, and that's just all there is to that, man. In keeping with us turning over the new leaf, we ain't talking about anything controversial, not at all. Nothing even close to it, okay? Now then, let's get back to whether Christianity, God, and any kind of religion can help you win a Super Bowl. I'm Phil Hendry. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, it's controversial.
I'm joking. I'm joking about it. All right, what we do want to do, though, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is get into some of our sports topics that we so, as I mentioned to you last night and in nights past, we so desire to do on this show because, in point of fact, as we have said, News Talk is dead red, and it's all about sports. And I figure I can do sports talk just as well as the next guy. Well, maybe not the next guy.
Well, the next guy, Dan Patrick.
Oh, that reminds me. I just got back from the bathroom. I'm glad. You said some very choice things about Dan Patrick on Friday night that got retweeted by some, the radio, I don't know what it was, the radio hose bag, or I don't know what it was.
So what are you mentioning it for?
Well, I thought it was very interesting that your comments were picked up on by a radio news periodical.
A radio news periodical, huh? And what was it called?
Phil, before you get into your sarcasm...
No. What was it called? A radio news periodical. This I gotta hear. So what did they do?
They printed the truth for a change, and they said that Phil Hendry said that Dan Patrick is a lousy, rotten broadcaster.
Which I never said. Never.
Well, you didn't. You did, sort of.
No, I No, I did not. And if I did, I did not mean to intimate. Dan Patrick is a damn good broadcaster. You nuts? Very good broadcaster. I was trying to say that Scott Farrell is a good broadcaster, and I think his kind of radio is original, and I was endorsing his show. And I should not have said, if it came across that I do not appreciate Dan Patrick on the radio, that is just flat wrong. He's outstanding. He is, in his own way, a terrific personality, and I'm sorry, you know.
Well, that's all right. I think you've got a lot more humble pie to eat, Phil, and a lot more crow. And
humble pie is what?
It's humble pie.
What's it made out of?
It doesn't exist, bud. Humble pie is what you eat when you're, you know, being humble, when you've been humiliated and you're going on your knees, if you will.
Going on your knees?
What are you talking about?
Got to go on my knees and eat what?
Now I know you're screwing with me.
No, you're the one that said I got to go on my knees and eat something. In my neighborhood, that only means one thing. That's a cone and...
Never mind what it's a cone of.
You know, every time he turns around, he's looking for filth. He's looking for a new filthy angle. You know?
Well, I can't wait for you to say, Ms. Gray.
What's that?
That's helping you to say. Talk about, are you a white man?
I didn't ask you if you're a white man.
You were talking to me. Let me just control the show. Don't worry about it.
You talk about me?
I wasn't talking about you. I wouldn't waste the oxygen. Are you crazy or something?
All right, take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. In any event, Dan Patrick is a fine broadcaster. I don't want to stir up any more garbage than needs to be stirred up, and I'm sure that there isn't all that much being stirred up. The point that I was making, and I feel I made it the best way that I know how, was that Scott Farrell, in my opinion, is a guy that deserves a break. I think he does a good show, and I think we need original broadcasters. And,
yeah, and in other words, Dan Patrick's not an original.
I didn't say that!
Don't look at me and raise your voice that way, Phil, and say that!
Let's take a look at what's happening here in the world of sports. Okay, so we already got the Academy Awards out of the way. Thank God. If I never see that again, I will be a happy, happy man. In other news here in the world, Yahoos can no longer work from home, according to Marissa Meyer. Baby is easy, Yahoo's fun. Marissa Meyer brought free food and shiny new iPhones to Yahoo. Now she's making a change that's a lot less fun, instituting a policy that says Yahoos can no longer work from home. Marissa Meyer is the new chief over there at Yahoo.
Oh my God, I'm going to bleed from the ears.
Ow! Ow!
What's the matter?
You go Yahoo!
Blew my ears out.
Blew my... I can't hear nothing. I'm deaf, I tell you, I'm deaf.
Oh, will you grow up?
Good Lord, Henry. You know you did that to Hedy Lynn Hurdy's in 1982. I heard all about it.
What did I do?
You are an engineer. You butchered it up. You put a 1K tone into her head. Almost blew her brains out.
Hedy Lynn Hurdy's, huh? Hedy, if you're listening, I'm sorry if I did that. I don't remember. I was not a very good engineer. I was not a good session engineer. I worked as a session engineer for Westwood One for about 3 months until finally somebody said, this guy's not an engineer. Make him a producer or something.
Did you really do that? Did you feed a 1K tone at full blast into her headphones?
Not on purpose. Not on purpose. In any event, the message officially came from Human Resources head Jackie Reeses, whose memo was obtained by tech blog All Things D, because All Things D obtained this tech blog, and why did they get their greasy mitts on it? We'll never know. To become the absolute best place to work, communication and collaboration will be important, so we need to be working side by side, the memo said. That is why it's critical that we are all present in our offices. This is the next step in Meyer's campaign to turn around the ailing Yahoo. Yahoo, a Fortune 500 company. Overall, she wants the company. Let's take a look at what their stock did. After she instituted this, we're all going to be working side by side. It's going to be one big happy family. They're down 2%.
Yay!
Nice going there, Marissa. I don't know what drives stock prices. Who knows what drives? You people that are listening to me right now, you're just as educated on what drives a stock price as anybody. You could give advice to a Wall Street broker. You could. Now, yes, there's such a thing as fundamentals, and yes, there's such a thing as good, sound business practices,
But in the modern marketplace, and that when I say marketplace, I mean Wall Street. In the modern Wall Street marketplace, there isn't one bit of intelligent action going on. I mean, it is all reactive. It's all emotional. It's based upon a lot of voodoo and hoodoo and who knew and you knew and all that. All right, so to become the absolute best place to work, we all have to work side by side, said Ms. Meyer, by way of Jackie Reese's pieces, who is the resources head, Jackie Reese's of resources. Overall, she wants the company to devote itself to personalizing the web for its users, and Meyer apparently deems working from home to be a detriment to those plans. Hey, how about that, man? That's kind of a reversal of the trend, isn't it?
Well, I think when you say to people you can no longer telecommute, that's going to put some, you know...
Yeah, it's going to put a crimp in a lot of people's plan and everything.
I think that there's a lot of people that have gotten used to telecommuting. What do you think?
I think you may be right.
Well, I'm not really interested. I was actually looking past you. Robert, could you get me a...
Yeah, I'm going to get a Diet Coke.
Yes. What do you think, Robert?
You get... Don't be funny, all right? So, Meyer has said she wants Yahoo to move more quickly with teams focusing on collaboration and communication. Clearly, Meyer thinks it's hard to make those connections when working remotely. Marissa Meyer's Yahoo turnaround. The memo appears squarely aimed at employees who work remotely full-time, stating that by June, those employees will have to report to a Yahoo office. Reading between the lines, it looks like some long-distance employees will have to either relocate or resign. Aha! So there are people who are living far afield of the main downtown Yahoo mother-father computer, you know.
What is the mother-father computer?
That's the main brain.
Yeah, you got to go down and work by the brain.
Work at the brain?
Yeah. Come on, Margaret. Get with it, Margaret. You're telling me I'm out of sync? Huh? Think like a white woman, Margaret.
How dare you, you...
You said it.
Yeah, you took us down that path from which there is no return. So nobody gets to telecommute, nobody gets to do the do, nobody gets to sit out there in their dead ass telecommuting from, you know, Busted Whistle, New Mexico. They're going to all have to get on a plane or on a train or on a boat.
Now you take a boat from New Mexico. See, you can't. See? Uh-oh. Yeah.
Yeah, hurt, didn't it? So they're going to have to get their asses into the office.
I understand that, Phil, and you're looking at me like it's a problem that I've got. Do I look like I telecommute?
No, you don't.
I just think it is an insensitive thing for a fellow female executive like Marissa Meyer, whose elevation to the number one position at Yahoo I wholly trumpeted and I completely supported. But I think now she is acting like Helga, the, you know, the C word, B word, I don't know.
Well, if she's acting like Helga the C-word, B-word, you know what? If a guy acted this way...
Oh, Phil, don't give me that speech about it. If a guy acts that way, that's okay. But if a woman does that, I'm just saying as women, we cannot afford to be the C-word.
And yet every night, that's what you are.
Oh!
Woo! You gotta go, Lemon Sandler.
Gotta go to the bathroom?
Yes, I do. I do have to go to the bathroom to vomit and diarrhea. And Bud gets to mop it up. Thank you. Thank Phil, Bud.
Very, very adult of you, Margaret.
No, very adult of you.
Do I gotta go mop it up?
No, you don't, Bud. Well, I don't know.
Yes.
Very adult for you to close out with a comment like that on the air, too.
Oh, grow up.
Let's take a break. We are already late for our break. Had we gotten into our break on time, we never would have had to hear her, like a child, get back at me by saying she was gonna, you know... do what she's going to do.
Vomit and have diarrhea.
Thank you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Woo! Show. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are talking about a very interesting change of policy at Yahoo by the new head of Yahoo, and that is Marissa Meyer.
And what Ms. Meyer has essentially done is she's eliminated from at least the corporate, at least from the work environment at Yahoo, telecommuting. Excuse me, folks.
Would you stop that, please?
I'm sorry, Margaret, but I'm having to...
Yeah, you got to adjust.
Well, are you doing it in front of a lady? Is that it?
Margaret, first of all, I'm doing it under the... I've got my hand... Why are you sticking your nose under there?
Because I saw you squirming around, and I wanted to see what...
Yeah, you want? What, you want to see?
Remember this. I carry... And I shouldn't admit this. I carry a switchblade knife.
Not in this studio, you don't.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
Not in this studio, you don't. You got a knife in that purse?
Yes.
Get rid of it.
What an ass. Boy, that's too bad.
Yeah, get rid of the knife. A switchblade knife, huh?
I need something for those two.
So anyway, Ms. Meyer, who just recently had a baby and was back on the job within 2 weeks... that is impressive. It's very impressive, except for one thing. The baby starved to death. Now then.
You kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. All right, to talk a little bit more about this with us is Don Mixa. He's a professor of engineering at the University of Washington in Seattle. Don joins us on our newsmaker line here tonight to talk a little bit about this policy at Yahoo and what it means for not just the work environment at Yahoo, for work environments, for workplaces, workstations, for the office worker, and more across America. Don, how are you?
Real good, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
And what do you think? Is this a move by Yahoo that is going to find permanence in other companies as well?
I think it's a move for the future. I believe that the time has come that we start to recognize that working at home and by ourselves gives us a false sense of entitlement. I think that people who work at home have often described themselves as self-employed, and of course you know as well as I do that that's not always the case. When you're working at home, you could very well be working for somebody else. And I think when you work at home, you get the idea or the feeling or the sense that you are self-employed and you're not.
So if somebody has the idea that they're self-employed, are they forgetting that they work for a company?
No, I don't think they're forgetting they work for a company, but I think they are looking at themselves more as perhaps an independent contractor as opposed to a full employee, you know, where they're getting a paycheck and getting their payroll taxes taken out and so on and so forth. But I think when you are working at home, it's easy to fool yourself into thinking that you're some kind of self-employed independent contractor. You know, you're making your own hours and this and that. And people do tend to lie about those things in social settings and elsewhere. And I think that what Ms. Meyer has done is she has injected back into the American workplace. More importantly, she's injected back into the mindset of people who work at home the reality that you're nothing all that special and that you do have a job. But it is a job you have to report to a boss. You have a boss. You have someone over you. You are not self-employed, so forget that and start acting like someone that has to report to someone else. And I think once you realize that and once you get next to that reality, and I think one time we heard in your program, as a matter of fact, Phil, I think it was Vernon Dozier who said, you know, you got to get your nose right up in it. Well, he was right. You know, you do have to get your nose right up in it.
Talking here with Don Mixa, who's a professor of engineering at University of Washington, Seattle. You got to get your nose right up in it. And we're talking about Marissa Meyer, who is the new chief at Yahoo, who's eliminated telecommuting. There's going to be no more people working at home. People are going to have to come into the office and work from there. There are employees who have long-distance relationships with Yahoo. They're either going to have to relocate or possibly resign. Do you think that's the message as well?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. The further away from Yahoo you work, if you're a Yahoo employee and you are living, let's say, you know, literally a state over, shall I say, or, you know, living in some other locale, you have successfully deluded yourself into thinking that you are a self-employed, independent kind of a person. I think those are the people that we have to take stock of. I think we have to collect them, find out how many of them we've got out there. And how many of them are out there, even though they work directly for a company, in this case it would be Yahoo, and how many of them, even though they're working directly for a company, how many of them are in their off hours, for instance, telling people, oh, I'm an independent contractor, or at parties, oh, I'm self-employed, and they're lying. They're lying to themselves, they're lying to people at parties, they're lying to their wives, their children, their husbands. And the lies have to end, and these people need to be reminded of the fact that they are, like a lot of people, they work for a boss man, if you want to call it that. They work for the man, if you want to call it that. There is someone who can point their finger to the door, and that's the end of your world as you know it. There is someone who can say, we need to free up your salary, and that's the end of your world as you know it. So don't think that you are some kind of independent contractor.
You know, there's a sort of a spitefulness to the way you're talking.
Yes, I noticed that. Are you saying, Don, that you concur with this?
Well, I have to concur with it. I work for instance, the University of Washington. I don't get to telecommute. Nobody is telling me I get to go a state over. I get to go down to California, for instance, and teach my classes that way. No one is saying I get to write for the student newspaper that way. No one is saying I can chair the student teacher council that way. No one is saying I can chair the New Students for the Radical Left chairmanship that way. I have to come in here, and I've got to look at the head of our department every day, and I've got to listen to him tell me what to do and how to live. I don't like it, but I got to do it. And if I got to do that, if I have to come in here and look at someone telling me how to live, someone who is, would like nothing more than for me to marry his daughter, which I will never do, and I've told him that, and that has certainly put a crimp in my career plans, but that's the way it's going to be. If I've got to come in and look at him as he tells me what to do, then by God, if there's a God in heaven, and if Jesus hung from the cross, there's a few thousand, if not millions more out there that are sitting at their homes pretending like they are telecommuters.
All right, Don, we'll take a look at this and see how it develops, huh?
I hope you do, because I'm sick of the story. I'm sick of the reality of my life.
All right, Don Mixa. Thank you, Don.
Uh-huh.
We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
God, how I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much. The horror. The horror.
Phil Henry.
The horror.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We are, as I said, experiencing some technical difficulties with our video stream tonight. I apologize to each and every one of you for that. We'll get this thing cranking, if it kills somebody, probably me, but we'll get it cranking for you sooner rather than later. All right, so I think we have, thank you very much to Don Mixa for weighing in for us. So his essential point there was that...
Well, his essential point is that if he has to sit there and work for the man, then everyone has to.
Yeah, well, I think I would resist the temptation, Don, where if you're still listening, to essentially say to everybody who is a telecommuter, you know, you think your stuff doesn't smell, and hey, you're going to have to telecommute like the rest of us, because I'm not exactly sure that that's exactly, you know, how that works. 877-876-7445, here the world-famous Phil Henry Show. There's also a couple of other stories here having to do with Fidel Castro. But let's take a look at Donica Patrick. You know, the Indy 500 was, or excuse me, the Daytona 500 was won by Jimmy Johnson.
Who's he?
Who's he? Jimmy Johnson is a famous, he's a NASCAR driver, man. What do you mean, who's he?
No, I've never heard of him. Yeah, I've never heard of him either.
Well, I've never heard of him, Phil.
That's because you guys don't follow NASCAR. That's why you've never heard of him. He's a very well-known NASCAR driver. As a matter of fact, Mark Martin, I think, came in third. Mark's one of the old men of the NASCAR circuit. And, by the way, a hip-hop fan, from what I gather.
What do you mean, hip-hop?
I don't know, but I know he listens. Who was in his... 50 Cent was in his pit.
Who?
50 Cent. 50 Cent. I'm saying 50 Cent. I'm trying to be as colloquial as I possibly can.
Phil, the proper pronunciation is the French. You can never go wrong with the French. Fais vivre ton cul dur, ne le vit ton temps. which is?
That's 50 Cent?
No, no, that's 50 Cent in French. Here it is. Je te vois bon Dieu, le compteur.
You don't speak French.
Oh, baby.
You got Mr. Henry, just go with it.
You gotta go with it, Phil. You don't speak French. How many people out there know that I don't speak French? Zero. How many people bought that when I said what I said meant 50 Cent in French? How many people now don't buy it because you said, you don't speak French?
I didn't say it that way, but you don't speak French.
Very dumb, Miss Gray. It's very deceptive.
No, it's not deceptive. We're not talking about the Watergate burglary here. We're not talking about the Clinton-Whitewater problem. We're not talking about George Bush and the National Guard. And we're not talking about Birthergate. We're simply talking about me fooling a few dumb asses into
thinking you speak French.
Yes. So, 50 Cent in French is what?
Je te contolue ton commentant quand tu dis pas.
Perfect. No one's any the wiser.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to, oh, look at this. Now, David G. Hall is back on the line. I can't, you know, for love or money. David, what can we do for you now?
Oh, well, thank you very much for that, Phil. It's great to feel welcomed on your radio show.
No, what do you want?
What do I want? Are you loving this guy? What do I want? Here's what I want. When Ms. Gray says that she speaks French and is able to pull it off in a fairly credible way, the best thing to do is to back her up. She's backing you up.
What do you mean, back her up?
I mean, when she says the French talk. Okay, what do you call it, Margaret?
It's French talk. It's an approximation of French. If you do it well enough, most French know what you're talking about.
In other words, if I sit here and I go, you don't go to do it like that.
Well, no, you got to do it better than that. You can't sound like you know somebody's got you by the throat. You can't sound like you're being gagged with, well, you know what. You got to sound.
No, I don't know what. And
you got to sound authentic, Margaret. Go ahead.
Phil, what I'm saying at 50 Cent in French is you don't go, you don't contribute. Most Americans don't. Well, see, now I'm on the air telling everyone.
Yeah, see, she's giving it away.
Oh, I see. So she wasn't on the air telling everyone. Everybody be out there thinking, wow, Margaret speaks French, and what she's saying is 50 Cent in French.
Yes. In a word, yes. So if you, go ahead, Margaret, I don't know. I don't do it very well.
Phil, just try it. What is 50 Cent in French, Phil?
Yeah, je te contolue quand on te quitte.
Oh, that blows. You can't do it too good.
No, you've got to do it in a convincing way.
Got to do it like you speak French.
What are you guys trying to tell me anyway?
Well, would you just resist the temptation to be indignant and to be the lone, you know, to be another version of the lone man against the world? Would you just do that for me and just speak some French? It's not French. What you're doing is you're doing France talk. So do it.
Yeah, it's France talk, Phil. It's not French.
France talk.
Yes, France. Oh, this guy, David, he's a hard case.
Boy, I'll tell you, when I hired you, Phil, and...
One thing. You never hired me. You didn't hire me. I entered into a contractual agreement with your ass.
All right. You entered into a contractual agreement with my ass. Great. Your ass, I hope my ass and you were very happy.
Yeah. Make you happy, too.
Don't get cute. Just do some France talk, okay? Because what we're trying to do is add some credibility to your show.
France talk. Je te bon gant, de l'huile dans ton pays.
Oh, he stinks. Margaret.
Phil, would you please try to pull it off, okay? And I don't mean, you know, the juvenile thing that I just saw Bud do, pulling on his, you know, imaginary, you know what.
Not imaginary.
I mean, you were doing an imaginary.
Okay, we understand.
Je te le bon tofond, je te bon.
That ain't bad.
That's not half bad. All right, what is 50 Cent in French, Mr. Henry?
Le compte de bûche de bâton.
You sound like you're a head waiter in one of those frog cream places. Look, Phil, I don't like France any more than you do, but I do travel there, and I pretend like I enjoy it when I'm around all of the people there, and I go down to the different things, you know, the big pointed thing. I don't know.
The big pointed thing?
The Eiffel Tower, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Well, there's a reason why they call it the Eiffel Tower. It's an Eiffel. And that's what I want you to do.
No, the reason why they call it the Eiffel Tower is that's the guy that designed it.
No, they don't. It's...
So why are you contradicting people?
Because I know what I'm talking about, okay?
I don't care. It's an Eiffel. Now go ahead, do some French talk.
Je l'ai entendu de compte of there.
Oh, you speak French. What is 50 Cent in French?
Le compte de Bétine et Bétoron.
David, he's just not getting it done. At the very end, it sounds as if he's got a lazy eye and he walks with his wrist against his chest, you know?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, like he's got some kind of dystrophy.
Yes.
Get out of here, will you? Okay, David, thank you.
Wait a minute, Phil.
Well, what are you all upset?
Margaret, I don't think that just because you sound like you speak French, you speak French. In other words, you can't go, you do, and a French guy's going to understand that, huh?
Yes, he is. Here's what you do. You remember that dumb cop you ran into there in Paris? You were talking about that big, dumb cop with the funny-looking hat?
I never said he was a big, dumb cop.
Well, you intimated as much.
No, I did not intimate as much. I said he was a police officer that didn't... He spoke English.
Look at how you're hesitating. He. You're nervous about talking about this big, dumb cop. And I'm saying to you...
Hold on for a minute. He was a cop who was speaking French. And I said, where's this and where's that? I forget what I was asking.
Where were you going?
Probably back to the hotel. I think I was asking, which way to this hotel? And he looked at me with the knowing look of a cop that has answered a million questions in English, and he gave the answer to me in French. Okay?
Yes, even though he spoke English.
Yeah, because he did speak English, because I had made an attempt at speaking French. I said, ouais, you know, which is where is this or that, okay?
What are you talking about, where is ouais?
Ouais, that's where is.
That's a guy that kicks for the Miami Dolphins.
That's Uwe von Schumann. Are you some kind of an experiment in dumb? Are you... I swear to God, Bud, you live at the bottom of a Petri dish, and that's where you'll always be in my book.
Can you put this kid down any more than you have?
Doesn't matter, Mr. Henry. Sticks and stones are going to give me a bone. Well, no.
Did you hear that?
All right, hold on.
Sticks and stones are going to give you a bone.
All right, hold on. 50 Cent in French is Le Coton Zizuma Liqueur.
Beautiful. I love it. I'm in love with it. Boy, I've got one leg draped over that. That's how much I love it. All right, now, you're in the pits at the Daytona 500. 50 Cent walks over. You're from France. You're an investor. You love 50 Cent. You turn to him and you say, in French, I regret that I cannot have you over to dinner because we're very old-fashioned in France and most black people there are Africans and we still have a great fear of you people. However...
What is it, man? I'm giving a speech here and it's all a big bunch of racist crap?
No, you're talking as if you're...
You're talking like you're a frog.
You're talking like a frog, yes.
I'm sorry
I can't have you over to dinner... Because as a Frenchman, I'm not as evolved as Americans, and so therefore, most black people are from Africa. Think of something, you know.
Yeah, let's think of something.
Whoa, what the hell are you saying?
All right, Margaret, I'm all done with this.
Phil.
I'm all done with this stupid, asinine thing called France talk. Hi, I'd like you to come over for dinner, but we don't have black people because I'm from France. Yes, David?
Why did you give up? You were doing so good. You did the... You know, that way people are going to think we do a French show, and that way it'll be credited as bilingual, and that way...
Yeah, and that way, he went that way. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. And again, our apologies on our video stream. We are attempting to restart, to reconnect, to reconvene, and to... set fire to it, burn it down, and start all over again. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we continue. We're just doing a little
We have a technical malfeasance or malfunction, or there's something wrong here. Yep, there it is. It's just not working. How's it doing on your end, Dan? Suck? So we have a little bit of a technical problem here. Now, getting back to what we were discussing here, and this is Donica. Donica Patrick, who is the female NASCAR driver that captured the imagination of so many people, most particularly and most touchingly, at least in my book, of the young daughters of the other drivers who brought their daughters to the track to meet her. This is truly a new NASCAR, I got to tell you. And I don't mean that NASCAR is any or was any more, shall we say, regressive or any more Neanderthal than any other sport. I'm not saying that at all. You know, but NASCAR had its issues, just like NFL, just like the Major League Baseball, just like all major sports, golf. NASCAR had its issues. But to see a sport like NASCAR so highly identified with the sort of a traditional South, which for some people means a level of intolerance. To see this modern NASCAR embracing this young woman and the other drivers, the men that she's competing against, bringing their daughters out, their little girls out to meet her as a role models is something else. And in this article written here by Lee Spencer for Fox Sports, she simply starts out, "Thank you, Donica, for living up to the hype. After stealing the spotlight from the boys in the Sprint Cup garage for most of the Speed Week, when the checkered flag flew on the Daytona 500, Donica Patrick's overall performance and eventual eighth-place finish over the 10-day stretch was respectable and historical. She's going to make a lot of history all year long," said Dale Earnhardt Jr., her former Nationwide Series team owner and a fellow competitor. "It's going to be a lot of fun to watch her progress. I think she's done her best work in the Cup car myself. I think for whatever reason, she seems to get a lot more out of that car." That's the Cup car as opposed to the Nationwide Series, which is a another series. And I think it's like one rung below the Sprint Cup, which is the championship of NASCAR. "Every time I've seen her in a pretty hectic situation, she's always really remained calm. She's got a great level head. She's a racer. She knows what's coming. She's smart about her decisions. She knew what to do today as far as track position and not taking risks. I enjoyed racing with her." So she's getting some pretty...
Well, that's Dale. That's the one that... well, he's not dead. What am I thinking?
No, his dad died.
That's Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Well, who is the one that... And tragically, who's the one that passed on?
Dale Earnhardt.
And who is he?
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
All right, Phil. You don't have to look at me like I've committed a war crime.
God, how many times going to say it? Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
Well, I don't follow the sport of racing.
Well, okay, Margaret, but you're a news person, and you're a journalist. You ought to be following this young woman's story, this Donica Patrick. Have you heard of her?
I've heard of her, yes. And I am following racing now. And I can tell you this much. Because I have begun following racing because of this young lady, I have a great knowledge, and I'd like to point out I almost belched, and I didn't, because you make a big issue out of it. But I've got terrible burning gas, and I kept it inside, Phil, so you wouldn't make a huge issue out of it live on the air in front of everyone and embarrass the hell. Excuse me.
Well, there's one for the books.
No, don't start talking about me when I'm not there.
No, that's one for the books. So you wouldn't start talking about it and embarrass me. And she just started talking about it and embarrassed herself, and now she is in the bathroom.
Are you belching?
Yes, I'm getting rid of the belches so it doesn't... There, I'm better. But the burning from the acid alone, Phil, well...
I can well imagine. That's,
You don't have to condescend. I know that you don't care.
Yes, I do care. I'm sorry. Maybe we should keep some Tums...
Do you mind if we not publicize this?
Well, Margaret, you started the whole... You said, "I'd like to point out I stifled a belch."
Because I wanted to point out to your audience... Okay.
I'm just saying...
Oh, excuse me, I'm not done. I wanted to point out to your audience that... All right?
Yeah?
I forget.
You want to point out the audience of the burning... Yeah, and the burn, how it burned...
Yes, I wanted to point out to the audience how much it burned. Listen to the little girl laugh.
Okay. So that was Dale Earnhardt Jr. Certainly the TMZ-style buzz of her budding romance with fellow NASCAR Sprint Cup rookie Ricky Stenhouse Jr. overshadowed her professional accomplishments at times. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. That sounds pretty juicy. Who is it?
Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
And what does he do?
He's a driver.
A driver of what, Phil?
He's a race car driver, driving a NASCAR circuit.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out.
Yes, he's a race car driver.
And what did he do?
He's going out with this girl, Donica Patrick. Are you listening?
I didn't ask if he was going out with her. I wanted to know what he did. All right, never mind.
So on Sunday, when Patrick addressed the media after finishing at the top as the top rookie in the Daytona 500, an accomplishment she earned in her 2005 Indianapolis 500 debut, before going on to win the IndyCar rookie title as well, it was clear she had been accepted into the club. It was just another car on the track, Daytona 500 winner and five-time champion Jimmy Johnson said of Patrick's effort. I didn't think about it being Donica in the car. It was just another car on the track that was fast. And, of course, I did all I could to make sure that she didn't win, even if it meant running her right off the high end of the track, up about 75 feet in the air, flipping, crashing, and burning. I'm only kidding, said Johnson.
Hey.
Now, moving along.
Let me see that. Why, you lying?
I know he didn't say that. I was joking around.
You don't think a joke about Mr. Henry.
Take it easy, okay? Last year, when Patrick won the poll for the Nationwide Series, if you'll pardon the expression, won the poll.
See, right there, that's sexism.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
All right, I'm sorry. So last year, when Patrick won the poll for the Nationwide Series race at Daytona, she showed her proficiency at the 2.5-mile track. Throughout testing and practice, what are you looking at?
Well, I want to know what you read. The 2.5, it sounded like you had...
Did you go spastic?
You didn't go spastic, did you?
Last year, when Patrick won the pole for the Nationwide Series race at Daytona, she showed her proficiency at the 2.5-mile track.
You almost went spaz.
Throughout testing and practice, it was clear that she had quickly acclimated to restrictor plate style racing. So when she won the pole for the Daytona 500 with a speed of 100 and... you know what? I can't read this anymore. I'm sorry, folks, but you get the idea. We are going to take a break. We may come back because I have been battling a number of things here, folks, not the least of which... is this technical problem we're having, but also I have been battling about 3 days' worth of a... 3 days' worth of just a overload, you know, on work and everything else. So we may just take some time here in the next hour to get everything sort of squared away and fixed. We'll see. World-famous Phil Henry Show, I love all of you. We are working to endeavor to restore to you your citizenship and your worthiness in the human family, and myself as well. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, I know that didn't make any sense, but I think it sounded
regal.
Yes, it did.
Phil Henry.
Famous Phil Henry Show, and we got our video stream back. I don't know what happened tonight, man, but we've had all kinds of gremlins in the system, and but we are back live with our video cast. We apologize to those of you who are trying to access it. We will have on demand of tonight's video cast, but I'm not exactly sure what you're going to see, because in restarting these different streams this evening, it's been weird. All right.
Well, are you going to give people a discount or a refund on...
No, we will not. No.
Yeah, what a jip.
What's a jip about that, man? You know, let me tell you what. For $9.95 a month, 5,000 hours of audio, all kinds of video casts, you know. I mean, we have a five-day archive. As a matter of fact, we're going to expand that archive, but don't start, okay? Don't start giving people reasons to start writing me nasty letters.
Well, I just think... some sort of a discount. Is that what you think?
Well, that's not going to happen.
All right, everyone, you just heard Mr. Henry say you can take your grievances and stick them way, way up there so that they are almost a part and excuse me for saying this, of the digested food mass that is... What's wrong with you?
Do you mind?
That's all right.
All right, a couple of things to get to. Number one, the crudity and vulgarity of Seth MacFarlane. I'm kidding. However, that was what was talked about. And as we said at the outset, and it bears repeating, if you have a guy that's tasteless, you know, if you're reviewing any kind of a performance, don't start with, oh, the jokes were tasteless. Because number one, if you're hoping to offend or anger the performer, you're not going to. When you say that he's tasteless, you're actually complimenting him. He's saying, well, at least I was funny. That's what he's thinking. Cat like MacFarlane, anybody that works to make people laugh for a living, he didn't care if you say he's tasteless. He could care less if you say that he's offensive. What he cares more about is he funny or is he not? So these jackasses, I just love them, you know. By the tastelessness and the sexism and the this and the that, it doesn't make any difference. Was he funny or not? Well, it's the same thing. Maybe to you, man, but not necessarily to other people. Seth MacFarlane, for instance, the Lincoln joke where he said that John Wilkes Booth really got into Lincoln's head. I didn't laugh at that, and I know why I didn't laugh at it, because it was like, well, I know MacFarlane said it's been 150 years, but in point of fact, Seth, it ain't, because the movie's out, you know, so now it's like fresh in everybody's minds.
Yeah, kind of like the bullet.
Man, that's not funny at all.
What's the matter with that? Seth MacFarlane did it. And
I'm going to kick your ass. That wasn't funny.
Kind of like the bullet.
How come he gets to do it?
He doesn't get... He's taking his chances with his thing. You're taking chances with my thing, okay?
Your thing?
With my show. So don't do it. Seth MacFarlane cracks a few offensive jokes at the Oscar, and Kim Kardashian straddles Kanye West on the new magazine cover. See Us Weekly's top five stories for Monday, February 25th in the Roundup. I can't wait to see Kim Kardashian straddling Kanye West in a naked, sex-filled magazine cover. Not for the faint of heart, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West tested the boundaries of PDA with a daring photo shoot together for French magazine L'Official. Margaret.
Give me, yes, when it has to do with French, don't you ever.
Well, go ahead.
Let me see that. L'Official. There. You don't believe me, do you?
No, I don't believe you. Things get steamy on the cover shoot, which features the parents-to-be in an explicit, romantic, graphic, romantic embrace, circulated the web on Monday, showing all kinds of graphic detail. I'm kidding. No, I don't know.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
How graphic can it be? It's on Us.
It probably ain't diddly squat. It's probably one of them art shots. You know what I'm saying?
Art shot, man? What do you mean by an art shot?
Well, when there's a hint of nudity. The problem is, with Kardashian and the size of that ass on her, excuse my language, There's no such thing as a hint. It's a glaring bugle. It's like a tuba blast, you know.
Why? Because she's got a big butt?
Yes, that butt on Kim Kardashian. And Kim, you know I love you. But the last time, and if Kim, if you're listening, you know I love you. The last time we spoke, darling, I told you that ass is like a blast from the D note on a tuba. It's just, I can't do it, but...
Like that?
No, that's vulgar.
He's vulgar, but you're saying that her ass is like a blast from the D note on a tuba.
Yes. 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 I have to keep repeating this.
In the very graphic Us Weekly thing that they did the pictures for, what's PDA stand for?
Parental discretion advised.
Oh, okay. Cool.
No, it's Parent-Teacher, isn't it?
No, it ain't Parent-Teacher Association, man. That's a teach.
Parent-Teacher Association.
You done?
Yeah.
In the very graphic PDA testing boundaries thing, the French magazine, and you know those French, they have no hang-ups about sex. They're cool. So they're having these two people straddling each other, showing all kinds of graphic detail of each other's you-know-whats, nude, sweat, steam, tongues, all kinds of stuff, right across the street from a playground.
Hey!
Very good, Kim.
All right.
Now, number three, Seth MacFarlane insults Adele, Melissa McCarthy for their weight with Rex Reed joke at the Oscars. This year, I don't remember that.
You didn't hear it, huh?
No, I heard the Rex Reed reference, their weight with Rex Reed. Anyway, this year's Oscars were something of a roller coaster, and not just for the nominees. Adele's performance of Skyfall, for example, was a definite high point, but it was followed immediately by one of the show's lowest moments, a sideways dig at the singer's weight by host Seth MacFarlane. What was the joke?
Well, he said something about how she's a big tub of guts. I forget. It was very funny. But at the same time, it was tasteless. And that's what I'm saying, Phil. You say, well, if it tastes, is it that funny? It was very funny. I laughed. I laughed very hard. But it was tasteless, and I was ashamed of myself for laughing. I was ashamed of... I don't know Seth MacFarlane, and I certainly don't know his parents, but I was ashamed of his parents for giving birth to something like that that would stand up on a stage in a little bow tie and make such a such a disgusting dig at a woman who is battling this kind of weight problem and the veins in the legs. Can you imagine what Adele's legs look like? The ankles, the thighs, there's probably an awful lot of varicose problems there. Now then, moving on to her stomach.
Look at Margaret, I don't want to get into a whole thing, okay?
Well, all right, but I'm just saying that I thought it was low. It was lower than low. What is the term that you use, Bud?
Lower than whale dump.
Lower than whale dump?
Dump.
All right, so lower than a whale. All right. Well, I thought it was lower than whale garbage. Whale. That he did that, and yet I laughed until I streaked. And I'm being very honest.
Thank you for your honesty. Thank you.
Phil, I can see you're being sarcastic, but I really mean...
No, I understand. I think you present... It's a very interesting thing. On the one hand, you're saying that Seth MacFarlane was very funny with his joke about Adele. On the other hand, it was lower than whale dump. And this guy... And you're ashamed of his parents, even though you've never met them, for giving birth to a guy that would stand out there in a bow tie and do the things that he did. So I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, what are you talking about?
What am I talking... You're putting me on the spot, is that it?
No, I'm not putting you on the spot. I just wonder what it is you're talking about. Are you telling me that what he did was bad?
No, if you're listening to me, I'm saying that what he did was... It was brilliantly funny. Brilliantly funny. I think Seth MacFarlane, in terms of humor, outdid... Who was the best one? Billy Crystal? I think he outdid Billy Crystal, even though the humor he used to outdo Billy Crystal was as vile and vulgar and degrading as any I've ever heard outside of a Nicaraguan prison, let's say. Or that prison in Midnight Express, the one that the boy with William Hayes. What was that? Bud does the impression of the warden. Do the impression, Bud.
Willem Hayes, Dakadukagukagu, Willem Hayes.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man. You heard that, Phil?
That's terrible, you know.
Willem Hayes.
Oh, Phil, not everyone, you know, you're not the only one that gets to do voices. Go ahead, bud.
Willem Hayes.
Okay, Willem, I heard it. God.
In any event, I'd rather bunk up tight with the worst, most foul-smelling sexual deviant in a Turkish prison than be the receptor of a Seth MacFarlane joke. That's all I'm saying.
But he was really funny.
Oh, he was wonderful, yes.
But you'd rather bunk up tight.
Phil, don't play it back. You heard me.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll get on the line here some other people that have... we had already Doug Danger... talking about this, so let's get on the line some other folks who have seen the Academy Awards. Austin Amarca stands by from Northern LA County with his take and more on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Mr. Hendry, I want to say I thank you for having me.
I said that.
World world-famous Phil Henry Show here online at philhenryshow.com as well. Do you have a backstage pass? Well, if you don't have a backstage pass, you ought to, because that is the digital headquarters of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. From there, you can listen to almost 5,000 hours of full radio shows. You can listen to, in other words, over a decade's worth of radio shows. You can listen to a full year of our Saturday night show, as well as watch a full year of our Saturday night video cast. We have a 5-day video cast archive. We have our daily podcast. We have it all going on at philhenryshow.com, plus our news feed and other features for our BSPs. And Margaret, you were giving me this whole song and a dance about why don't you do this? Why? We have some stuff planned for our backstage pass members, loyal that they have been all through these many years. So sign up, get a backstage pass, and be a part of what is going to be a really incredible year. And I mean that. It's going to be an incredible year with a one-man show that's coming up. We're adding two new podcasts. You know, we've got our Bobby Dooley that's up and running. We're approaching about 500,000 downloads total for all of our podcasts. And when we add two more, that means we're going to probably be pushing 1 million downloads. And that means we're going to get the big money national ad accounts like beer companies and car companies. Thank you and good night.
No, you can't say that.
I'm just joking around. All right.
Man, how a lot of people know that?
What? What did he just say?
Robert, you go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I said not a lot of people know about that.
It's a lot of inside stuff. You're right. All right. Here's what I really wanted to talk about. Faja Singh is 101 years of age, and guess what he did?
Died.
Well, that's a...
No, he didn't die.
That wouldn't be all that unusual either, man. I'd say, guess what he did.
Well, there's 101. Guess what he did. The first thing come to my mind on account of what he is, on account of what he did, what he is, not account of what he is.
I know he died. No, he didn't die. The world's oldest marathon runner is who he is, Jack. He ran his last race on Sunday at the age of 101.
Yeah, why is it his last race? Because he croaked?
No, he didn't croak. He decided that's going to be his last race. Faja Singh finished the Hong Kong Marathon's 10-kilometer, that's 6.25 miles, in 1 hour, 32 minutes, and 28 seconds.
That's not a very good time.
That's not a very good time, Margaret. He's 101. 101.
Oh, all right.
What's good time for 101?
I don't know what a good time is for 101. What's the last 101 guy that ran a 101-year-old man that ran a 10-kilometer? Anybody here know?
No, I'm just saying that's not a very good, that's not an impressive time. You want to go out with something better.
You want to go out with something better, huh? He's 101. What's he going to go out? He wanted to run it again?
Well, I would think that pride alone would dictate.
Maybe you guys aren't hearing what I'm saying. 101.
It's 101, Mr. Henry, but don't be ageist and everything.
That's the word. That's the word I was looking for. Ageism, Phil. It's a horrible thing.
So in other words, I'm being ageist when I say, good job, old man, you ran a 10-kilometer race in 1 hour and 32 minutes.
Yeah. You're like standing up high, and he's down low?
Yeah, you're talking down to him.
Yeah, that's it. You're talking down to him.
I'm standing up high, and he's down low, huh?
Yes, you're talking down. In other words, he'd be down.
You'd be looking down on him.
Yes, that's probably what would happen if I was standing up high and he was down low. I'd be looking down on him, and I would be talking down to him. But I'm not doing either, because he's 101, and I think the time that man did the 10-kilometer race, 1 hour, 32 minutes, for a 101-year-old man is very, very good.
Phil, would you think about
it? I'm not going to think about anything, okay?
Just think about it. 6 miles. 6 miles. And it takes him 1 hour to run that? Woo! Oh, baby.
You know, Margaret, I hope people are a little kinder to you if you ever get to be 101 than you're being to this man right here.
What is that supposed to mean?
You know full well.
Didn't you say, Mr. Henry, that...
I'm not going to talk about this anymore, okay?
Yeah, but tell people you say you could walk it.
Huh?
You were talking about how long it took you to walk 2 miles.
All right. I'm a younger man. I'm in better shape. Although I will tell you this. When I was in high school, I had to run a 13-minute mile to pass my PE class. This was something that I had to do because I'd been I'd missed a bunch of classes, and in order for me to graduate, I had to pass my PE class, and they said, in order for you to pass the PE class, you got to get out there and run a mile in under 13 minutes. All right. So I remember doing this, and I remember it almost killing me, man. I mean, I was just like, you know, I could barely breathe. Every other guy there, too, was about in the same shape. I mean, there was a bunch of screw-ups. I mean, we were just a bunch of high school screw-ups. Half the guys there were fat, you know. I didn't have that problem, thank God. But I think I was smoking cigarettes by that point. Even though I was 17 years old, it took me a while to, you know, 14-minute mile, and I barely made it. Now, I'm whatever I am, 40-plus years later, I can walk a freaking mile in 15 minutes. You know, I can probably run a mile in half that time. So what's that about?
So you're telling me you were in such bad shape as a how old were you, 15?
17.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how lousy the shape I was in. Or that's how much better shape I don't know. I don't know what. I was probably in really crap can shape. I could run a mile right now in 8 minutes. No sweat.
Are you kidding me, man? That's a world record.
Yeah, that's the world record, ain't it?
No, it ain't the world record.
What's the world record in the mile?
It's like 3 minutes and 58 seconds, something like that, I think. I don't know. 3:56, maybe?
It's under 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, so you're saying that you could run a mile in 8 minutes. That sounds like you're doing... Phil, it sounds like... Excuse me for saying this, but it sounds like you're making the dog happy.
Yeah, sounds like it's you and the dog, you know.
Sounds like I'm screwing the pooch. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, then say it. I'm making the dog happy. Number four... We still on this Oscar thing?
Yes, Phil. No, you're talking about the old man.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
What a clown. God, man. Get it together, Henry.
Tell me to get it together. All right. So in any event, Mr. Singh, he's 101 years of age. Now that we've run this guy down, can I finish? Because I think what he did was fantastic. He's a Sikh with a saffron turban and a flowing white beard following the route along the northern lip of Hong Kong inland. And with that beard and with that turban... Cutting down, you know, the wind resistance on that was a brutal thing as he was just trying to fight against it. And I'm just kidding. No, it doesn't say that. He was accompanied by a group from the city's local Sikh community, joining about 72,000 other runners wearing diapers and turbans.
Phil.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm just joking. I'm kidding around, folks. I'm sorry. About 72,000 other runners taking part in the marathon. God, ew.
What?
Imagine that, man. Talk about the sweat. 72,000. The Indian-born runner, nicknamed the Turban Torpedo, had said that he would hang up his sneakers after the race in the southern Chinese city just before his 102nd birthday. I will remember the day. I will miss it, Singh said minutes after crossing the finish line. Singh, a great-grandfather, became the oldest man to run a full marathon at Toronto in 2011 at the age of 100. He accomplished... his accomplishment was not recognized by the Guinness Book of Records because he doesn't have a birth certificate to prove his age and because the Guinness Book of Records doesn't like Sikhs and cats with turbans and beards and thinks the whole thing is weird. Now then, I'm kidding.
Would you please get serious?
All right. We'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're all cute about that, but...
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't follow the Manti Te'o thing after the truth came out, you know, that it was a load and that it was this Tuiasa Sopo guy and the woman that was helping him, she also was in it. The whole thing was so bizarre. I still personally, and, you know, I should, you know, probably gather my facts a little better, but it's still very difficult for me to buy 100% this guy, Manti Te'o. How do you pronounce this cat's name? Because I've butchered it like 16 different ways. Manti? Manti Te'o. Okay. Now the NFL, and you know, so there's a lot about the guy I guess I don't know. But one of the things I don't think I need to know is whether he's gay or not. Maybe that has something to do with this hoax girlfriend thing. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe the fact that it was a dude impersonating a woman, or was, I don't know. But apparently, according to this story in on CBS Chicago, this is the CBS local Chicago website, NFL teams are not buying that Manti Te'o's declaration that he's not gay is truth. They're not buying it. After the fake girlfriend hoax exploded in January, Katie Couric asked Te'o if he was gay, and the former Notre Dame linebacker nervously responded, "No, far from it, far from it."
Well, so he was fidgeting, he was nervous, he was exhibiting what they call in forensics tells.
Now, when you say tells, you're...
It's the name of a man who shot an arrow into an apple. I'm only kidding.
It's pretty good, Miss Gray.
Thank you. What are you looking at, Robert?
What do you mean tells?
William Tell.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's my reaction.
Oh, so you're the only one that gets to get these little jollies off. Boy, I'll tell you, Phil, the hypocrisy in this program, the degenerate hypocrisy of this program is enough to sicken anyone. It's enough to sicken Satan himself. Okay?
Thank you very much for that.
Well, Phil, you know.
Yeah, you sow the seed, you're going to reap you're going to have to cut down the bamboo.
Exactly. You sow the seed, you cut down the bamboo. Thank you, bud.
You're welcome.
Can we just...
Yes.
So according to Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, NFL teams are still wondering if Te'o is indeed gay, and they want to know the answer. Here's the elephant in the room for the teams, and it shouldn't matter, but we have to step aside from the rest of reality and walk into this unique industry that is the NFL, Florio said on the Dan Patrick Show on Monday. Teams want to know whether Manti Te'o is gay. They just want to know. They want to know because in the NFL locker room, it's a different world. It shouldn't be that, but it is. Well, wait a second. What do you mean teams want to know? What is that supposed to mean? What do you mean teams want to know? Tell them it's none of their business. How about that, NFL? Or do you guys want to get sued? Because that's what's going to happen.
Why are you going to sue?
Because if the guy is if this man is seeking employment and the teams are somehow making his sexual orientation an issue, they're predicating his employment on that.
Well, they're not saying that exactly.
No, they're not saying it, but why are they asking? Why are they asking? And this guy, Florio, whoever the hell he is, should anticipate that and should be bringing it up on our man Dan Patrick's radio show.
Yeah, that's the guy you were disrespecting, too.
You were disrespecting Dan Patrick.
Oh, boy. Are you guys going to let it go or what?
Well, now you're all my man, Dan Patrick.
I'm being facetious. But the point that I'm making here is that I believe civil rights law articulates at the federal level that you may not make someone's sexual orientation an issue, predicate their employment on that. Now here's the NFL and these teams asking, is he gay, is he gay, is he gay? It's none of your damn business. How do you feel about that? The mere fact you guys are asking that question, if it can be proved that you're asking that question, according to this guy Florio, you are. You're in for a lawsuit. So I think you ought to get here with Mike Florio, the big mouth at Pro Football Talk, and say, hey, Mike, what are you saying?
Well, I'm just giving my opinion.
Well, guess what? You take your opinion and park it, okay? Because it's not doing us any good. According to this guy, Florio, teams want to know whether Manti Te'o is gay. They just want to know. They want to know because in an NFL locker room, it's a different world. It shouldn't be that way. Oh, really, Mike? They want to know because in an NFL locker room, it may be a different world, but they're not allowed to know anything when it comes to that. Florio said he didn't think teams actually asked Te'o about his sexuality when they met with him over the weekend. It's been described to me as the proverbial elephant in the room, and I don't think anyone knows how to solve this dilemma yet, he said. It's just that they want to know what they're getting. They want to know what issues they may be dealing with down the road. We just assumed that at some point there would be an openly gay player in an NFL locker room, and the team would have to work with the realities and make sure that everything's fine. Now you have a situation where you have a guy who was in a relationship with a fake girl who ended up being a real man, and the man has said to Dr. Phil that he was romantically in love with Manti Te'o. It just raises a lot of questions that the NFL at some point is going to have to deal with. Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why does the NFL have to deal with another guy being in love with this guy, Te'o? I'm telling you, man, the more you let this guy Florio run his big, fat mouth, why don't you shut your mouth, Florio, before your guts run out?
That's what he ought to say to him.
Obviously, if teams are wondering about his sexuality, it's an indication that it will affect Te'o's draft stock. Homophobia has been and continues to be a big issue in the NFL. If you can prove that a National Football League team is making this guy's sexual orientation an issue as to whether they will employ him or not, you've got a lawsuit. You've got a civil rights lawsuit. I don't give a damn what anybody says. I don't care if people think it's right or wrong, good or bad. I'm not weighing in on that. I'm just telling you that he can sue the hell out of them. So somebody go ahead and spread the word. See, this is what happens. You either get with the reality of life and respect people's rights as human beings, or you're on the receiving end of a civil action. You're on the receiving end of a court decision. This is the history of America. When we look at our Constitution and we look at human beings and citizens and we say, well, there are rights that are guaranteed under the Constitution of the United States. And sooner or later, if you're a business, if you're an employer, if you're a person, if you're a thing, if you're an it, if you're whatever you are, you got to deal with this. You got to deal with the idea that you're doing business with the public. You got to deal with the idea that you are openly soliciting employees. You got to deal with the fact that you're doing business with college players, that you are drafting based upon their football ability. Okay.
Yeah, but also you want to make sure they're not going to be, being all weird and looking at a guy in a locker room.
No, you don't. No, you do not. No, you don't. You do not. What are you talking about, man?
But what about you're going to get a gay guy and he's all staring at another guy?
I don't give a damn what your paranoia or your homophobic react. You may be really uncomfortable with some gay guy you think is going to be staring you up and down. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing. He, if he's gay, doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't have to say word one. And if they deny him employment based upon what they think is his homosexuality, he can sue them until they're bleeding from every hole, man, until he ain't got a football team. Now, there's something, Mr. Florio, that you ought to, spend some time telling the NFL, the guys that you're in communication with, the many teams and your inside sources and all your baloney. Why don't you tell them about that while you're hanging around the combine and looking at how, by the way, Mike, while you're hanging around the combine and checking out the muscles on all the young guys.
Well, are you saying this guy Florio is as queer as a $3 bill? Excuse my language, but that's acceptable because gay people use that word.
Yeah, okay, Margaret. Am I saying that? I'm saying I suspect it. I suspect that Mike Florio, because he has an issue with it, is hanging around the combine and looking at young boys as they're running fast, leaping up and down, and catching passes. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So you're saying that Mike Florio, out of pro football...
How many times have I got to say it? Yes.
You said that Mike Florio's gay.
Are you guys stupid or something? Will you listen to what I'm saying? What I'm basically saying is I'm making the same assumptions the NFL is making about, or this Florio says the NFL is making about this guy, Te'o. I'm saying, well, look at this guy. He's acting kind of squirrely to me, man. It's been described to me as the proverbial elephant in the room, Mike Florio said. Has it been described that way to you, Mike? Or are you just putting your own spin on this thing? I'm not saying anyone would take Manti Te'o off the board if they suspected he's gay or know he's gay. Well, then what are you saying? That's just the thing that's out there, and they want to know the answer to it. You're not saying they're going to take him off the board, but they just want to know that they don't get to know the answer to it. It's not their right to know the answer to that. So they're going to have to just not know the answer to that. You know, the dude said that he thought he was in love with a chick. That ought to be good enough, because this was some guy that was in love with him.
Well, don't you think that he might have been encouraging the homoerotic advances of this very disturbed Asian Pacific Islander? My understanding, the man was of island extraction. He was an islander. He was a, wasn't he one of the people of the outrig? What are you looking at?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean the people of the outrig?
I'm saying, wasn't this man an one of the islanders? One of the island people?
You talk about the New York Islanders?
Not the New York are the three of you brain dead?
Margaret, are you asking me, is this man Asian Pacific?
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Yes. What do you mean islander?
The correct term is a Waikiki. What do you call the people with the grass skirts?
Polynesians, I guess.
No, what is the politically, as a liberal, I believe that you should call people by the proper ethnic terminology, and I believe they are the ones, the volcano people, I don't know.
The volcano.
Phil Henry, you take that back.
Margaret.
Take it back.
No, I'm not taking it back. The volcano people, the people with the grass skirts.
There's a word for the Waikiki, the Wanawalalulu.
No, it ain't a wall. It's called, Mr. Henry's right, Asian Pacific.
What does that mean, Asian Pacific?
It means people of the Asian and of Asia and the Pacific Rim. In other words, Eastern Asia and the Pacific, meaning Pacific Islander people, Asian Pacific people. Okay?
No, not okay. That doesn't mean anything. You sounded like a babbling.
I think, Margaret, if you're as liberal and as knowledgeable as you say you are...
And I am.
Then you would know what a Pacific Islander person is. It's a people who are of the Pacific Islands, the Polynesians, the Micronesian people, Northern Pacific, Southern Pacific people. That's why we say Asian Pacific. We include folks like the Philippines.
Well, what is it? What's a Philippine? Or a Filipina?
Filipino?
Well, I don't believe that... Well, all right.
Filipinos are, they're probably Asian. And so, you know, Filipinos are an interesting people, like Taiwanese people. They are people of an island nation. Same thing with the people of Borneo, Papua New Guinea. Are they Asian? Are they Australian? Or are they just Pacific Islanders? That's why they combine those terms.
Aren't you all just proud of yourself that you know these things and I don't?
Yes, I am. I make a study of it, thank you.
I'm very busy. I'm a mother, and I have a rich, full life with a husband and son.
Okay, and I don't. I am sitting here eating hot dogs over the sink.
Thank you. Yay.
Okay, you have a superior life to mine, Margaret.
I wasn't trying to say that, Phil.
Yes, you were. We'll be right back.
Okay, Phil's going to feel sorry for himself now.
No, I'm fine. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth
I don't
is
care.
Our bitch.
I don't care.
The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I was engaged in a fruitless search, as it turned out, for Polynesian music. As you were talking about it, Margaret, I was trying to illustrate, and I'm not trying to, you know, I don't think I'm smarter or better than you, but I was trying to illustrate a little bit of what it was I was talking about, the Polynesian people, you know, the music. So it's an entire culture.
Well, I know that, Phil, but they've got a much more, I think, respectful and exotic name. When I say respectful, what I really mean is exotic and interesting, and it's very exotic. And I enjoy using the word when I'm speaking to friends of mine about having traveled to that part of the world, which I have. And I know you have, too.
Yes, I've been to Fiji, and that's all. I mean, I've been to Fiji, I've been to, obviously, Hawaii. The Cook Islands.
Have you been to Australia?
No, I have not.
See, the Australians are native islander, although there are white people. Well, I'm going to get in trouble again.
Yeah, let's stay off of Australia, okay? Let's, you know...
What do you mean, stay off of it?
But she wants to go there.
Stay off of it as a topic, if you don't mind.
Well, I don't know.
Just get away from it. You know, oh, there's white people. Look, you were trying to find out the name of the Polynesian, the Micronesian people, Pacific Islander. That's the name.
I know that's the accepted name, but there is a native, what is the term that they use when they're luau? And isn't that what it's called?
A luau, yeah. Where they what?
Where they I think they sacrifice when they used to sacrifice a virgin.
A luau? I don't think so.
Well, maybe that's what they did. Yeah, before they had tourists and before they had old people and tourists.
Before they had old people and tourists, what is he talking about?
Margaret, a luau as we know it today is a barbecue. It's a festival. It's a kind of a fun party. You're eating.
You're eating pig that's been buried in sand. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yes, you are absolutely right.
All right. It sounds degenerate. It sounds native. It sounds like the degeneracy of natives, the damned degenerate natives of the islands, as Captain...
Kirk?
No, not Captain Kirk. Not Captain Kirk. Captain,
Your one Kirk.
No, it wasn't Kirk.
Captain Kirk? You mean Captain Bly?
Yes, Captain Bly.
What about Captain Bly? What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about the degenerate natives of these waters. I mean, not... Never mind.
I think there's something wrong with you. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I really do. I think you got a screw loose.
Whatever.
Why do you say that?
What do you mean, why do I say that? What the hell is she talking about, damn degenerate natives of these waters? All of a sudden, we're going from Pacific Islander, Pacific Rim, talking about the ethnicity of the people, the principals involved in this Manti Te'o story, and we've gone from that down to some Captain Bly memory. What are we talking, reincarnation here, about the damn degenerate natives of these waters? All we're talking about is, who cares that this guy's Polynesian?
I love his name, and I love the Polynesian people.
And you know, it ain't even Polynesian. It's Pacific Islander. That's the term that supposedly is proper. So, to wrap this ridiculous topic up, it'll be really fascinating to see if the NFL pushes this the point on the. I think this guy. Let me tell you something, Florio. If you're listening, I don't think you know your ass from a hole in the ground. What do you think of that? I think you know football. I don't think there's any question you know football. But as far as the actual concerns of National Football League teams, I think you're guessing. I think you're spinning a wild tale. I don't think you have source one of any real... you're full of crap, man. All right.
Well, why do you say that? I mean, he's a reporter.
Nothing he says sounds real. It sounds like it's his opinion. It sounds to me like the guy is giving his opinion. It doesn't sound to me like it's a guy who's got his both oars in the water. I don't think he's got any information. I think he's full of crap. All right, final story, a final sports note. Cuba leader Raul Castro says new term will be his last. All right. No, actually, this is what the story is. In one of the strongest portents yet of a post-Castro Cuba, President Raul Castro said Sunday that his newly granted five-year term, gee, how lucky of him to get a new five-year term. I wonder how lucky a man can be that he was granted a five-year term. Oh, I'm sorry, you mean he put a gun to the heads of all the people that elected him? Okay. Anyway, he said his new five-year term will be his last. Trust him on that. And he took on a relatively young vice president who presumably could succeed him if that kind of stuff happens in Cuba. But who knows? Maybe the young vice president will be, you know, overstepped or sidestepped for the secretary of dung safekeeping. I don't know. In any event, that's what's happening in Cuba today, February 2013. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry, that would be me, and Dan Northcraft, that would be him. And, of course, we invite you to join us online. It's been an exciting night. It's been a weird night. But, by God, it's been a night to remember. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Until we see you again this morning at 10 a.m. Pacific, or excuse me, at tonight, 10 p.m. Pacific, or tomorrow morning, 1 a.m. Eastern. This is Phil Hendry saying, let that be a lesson to you.
tell you.